If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Genesis, right? Where it all began. That's where we're starting in Roots. And here's kind of the big idea of Roots. Here's why we're taking this trip back to Genesis. Because I believe as a culture and a society, we have lost the big story of the Bible. We have lost the meta narrative, the big story that explains all other stories. We sort of lost that. And because we've lost this thought of creation and God gives us things and creates us and makes us and tells us who we are, because we've lost that, we have no idea what it means to be human. We have no idea what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, what it means to like a man or a woman, what it means to get married, what it means to all these things. We're really confused on a lot of the questions that are so basic to life. So what we're doing is we're going back to the roots. We're going back to Genesis, back to creation, back to those opening pages to figure out, who are we? What are we doing? Why do we have these desires? And how are we supposed to live out our lives? What is the big story so we can live out our little story in light of that bigger story? So what we're going to talk about tonight is this idea of who are we? Well, what does it mean to be human? And what I'm going to say is this: if you don't understand how God created you, you can't understand who you are. In other words, as a human being, if you don't get that God created you in a certain way, you're not going to understand what it means to be human. And I think a lot of us were really confused on what it means to be human because we've lost this knowledge that God created us. And we really live in a culture that has lost the thought of what exactly does it mean to be human. I found it sad and both humorous at the video we watched last week at certain parts. And one of the parts that just broke my heart was, here's this PhD guy who said, you know what? We're all just fish. And the guy was like, really? We're fish? He's like, yeah, we're fish. And that's like, I want to say, like, really? Is that really what you believe? That you are an evolved fish? Right now, you're a fish. Really? Is that really who you are? You're a talking PhD fish. Like, that's really who you are? But we live in this culture that has so embraced Darwinian evolution that we're left with crazy statements even like that. Man, we're just evolved animals. We're no different than animals. We're just highly evolved. We're fish. We're connected to all the rest of the animal kingdom. We're just kind of a little more advanced than them. But what does it really mean for us to be human? What does that actually mean? Well, there's kind of two things that can happen where we take errors in both ways. Some people think too highly of humans, and they make humans to be gods. That's one error. There are religions that really make us out to be gods. Our whole point is to become God or become a God. So it's really overvaluing humans. We are gods. You're in control of everything. Well, that's an error. But there's another error on the other side to say we're animals. So it's usually, it goes two errors. Either we're gods or we're animals. But the truth is, what we're going to see is we are in the middle. We're not God. We're not animals. We're created in the middle. We're created above the animals. We're created above all creation, but we are below our creator God. That's what it means to be humans. We're always tempted to go in one of those directions. Think too highly of ourselves as a culture, or think too low of ourselves as a culture. And we're going to give examples of all of those. What I want us to do right now is to go back to Genesis. So if you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to try to clarify some of the confusion that we're left with in our culture. And we're really going to ask the question, who in the world am I? What does it mean to be human and not a dog? What does it mean that I'm not a cat? I'm a person. What does that mean? Does that have significance? How should I think about myself as a human being? How am I set apart from the rest of the world. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and stand. We're in Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 26 through 29. And I want you to listen to one statement, and that is image of God. So look for that. Listen for that. Here's what it says. Then God said, let us make man in our, what?
Image.
After our likeness. And let them have, what?
Dominion
means to rule. Over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven, over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the living things that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for tonight. We pray that as we go back to our roots, we would see the truth of who we are. As human beings created in the image of you for your honor and your glory, help us to see the truth of that and help us to understand what that means for our lives. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' good name. Amen. All right, you guys may be seated again. So here we see in the very beginning that God creates us in his image. He creates man in his image, but that's not boys. That's not men in his image. Man there is for mankind. Because in the next verse, he says, he created them in his image, male and female in the image of God. So it's both male and females that make up the image of God. So it's not that men are in the image of God only, or women are in the image of God only. It's women and men are made in the image of God. So we're creating the image of God. Both male and female, gender, we're going to talk about that in a few weeks, what it means to be a man or a woman, why that's important. And then he tells us to be fruitful and multiply. In other words, as men and women come together in marriage and make babies. God told us to do that. Come together in marriage and make babies and fill the earth with what? Image bearers of God. And here's one of the great things. He says, guess what? You are in charge of the world. He puts us in charge. He says, you rule over everything. The fish, the seas, the birds, everything that you see, all of my creation, I'm putting you in charge of it all. So here, God creates us not to be gods, but to be under him and to rule over the world on his behalf. And next week, we're going to dive into what that means, that we're kings and queens of the world to rule and reign on God's behalf. But what we're going to do tonight is really just dig into that question. What does it mean that we are made in the image of God? What does that mean? And I just want to be honest with you. It's very difficult to explain what it means to be created in the image of God. It's just a really, really tough thing to grasp. And it's even harder to try to talk about, to try to explain. So, oh yeah, we're made in the image of God. What does that mean? We're in the image of God. Well, what does that mean? I don't know. I mean, I've been like 6 years of like seminary and I still have trouble answering. Okay, this is exactly what it means to be made in the image of God. But I'm going to do my best to try to tell you guys what it means and also why it matters that we are made in the image of God. So first of all, here's what I want you to see. There is a pattern break in the narrative of Genesis chapter 1. So God starts creation, day one. He says, let there be what? What's the first thing? Light. And there's what? Light. Okay? So here's the pattern. God speaks. He says, let there be. And then there is. And then he says, it's good. That's the pattern. So let there be sea. And there's sea. And God says, it's good. Let's go surfing. Like, this is awesome. Check out the sea, right? It's good. My creation is good. Let there be trees. There's trees. Let there be land. There's land. So God keeps this pattern. Let there be. There is. It is good. So this pattern continues. Everything. But then all of a sudden, in the verse we just read, there is a breakdown in the pattern. The pattern is inconsistent. It's like all of a sudden something else happens there. I want to read it again so you catch this. Here it says, let there be earth, and there's earth. Let there be trees, and there's trees. Let there be fish, and there's fish. And then there's, let us make man in our own image. That's a pattern break. He doesn't say, let us make humans, and there are humans, and they are good. No, what God said is, let us make man in our own image. He hasn't said this about anything else in all creation. He didn't say, hey, let's make a turtle to be in our image. So when they're like slow, but they win the race against the hare, it can cheer like, yeah, image of God. Nothing is in God's image but us. So there's this pattern shift. It's supposed to stick out in the narrative. It's supposed to scream something. And here's what it screams for us. Here's the big point. You and I are unique over all creation. You and I are unique when it comes to everything else in the world. And I really want you to hear that tonight. Students, that's one of the big things I really want you to hear and feel tonight. You are unique. And what makes you unique is not necessarily how you look or your personality or exactly who you are. What makes you unique is you're made in the image of God. You are unique over everything else in all of creation. Now, I want to answer just one question that might pop up in your mind. Here's God, and what does God say? Let us make man in our own image. Who's he talking to? You ever thought about that? Like, okay, who are you talking to, God? I went through church membership with a guy in the church. He's a little bit older than I am, and we were just talking to church members. I got a few questions. So, like, when God created the world, like, who is he talking to? Because he says us. And I remember when I was in college, that was one of the big, you know, things that my professor made. Look, here's God talking to somebody. There's another God. There's, you know, so people take this like, what does this mean when God says, let us make man in our own image? So is he talking like the angels? Hey, angels, let us make man in my image and your image. Well, of course, that's not true because they're created beings and he's uncreated. He's the creator God. So they are way inferior to him. So what does it mean when God says, let us make man in our own image? What I think is right in the very first chapter of Genesis, we see the Trinity. Here's God. And if you ever notice the very first few verses of the Bible, it says God, in the beginning there was God, right? And then God said, so God's word goes forth and creates. And then it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters during creation. The Spirit of God is hovering over creation. So you've got God the Father speaking the word. Well, who's the word, do we find out in John's gospel? It's Jesus. He's the Logos, the eternal word of God. And the very Spirit of God is hovering over the water. So even in creation, we see the Trinity in action creating the world. So God is speaking to himself. Here, the Trinity in action. God is saying, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image. So here's a God who is in complete fellowship with himself. He is in complete love and unity with himself. And out of that love and community, he creates us. No wonder we are creatures who long for community. Right? Why are we all here together? Why do we love? Why do we have all these things? Because we are made in the image of God. So some of you are like, okay, well, who's he talking to? It's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son are working out creation. So you were created in the image of a triune God. One God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So big concept I want you to see right off the bat. Big concept. Here it is. You are unique over every other creature on the planet because you're made in God's image. It makes you uniquely different. But we live in a culture where those lines are blurring a lot. Because if you believe in Darwinian evolution, here's what it says. We are no better than any other creature. We aren't any higher than any other creature. In fact, how many of you guys have heard of PETA? Have you heard of PETA? PETA is People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. Okay? You've probably heard like anything, like something happened, you're like mistreating a dog. Watch out, PETA's going to come and get you, right? Now, I'm not bashing PETA. I'm not saying PETA is evil. Like if somebody's abusing a dog, we're not supposed to do that because as humans, we're supposed to watch over the animal kingdom. We're supposed to protect and steward the world, right? We're not supposed to mistreat it. But I just want to read the line from PETA's website. Here's their statement. When it comes to PETA, here's their big statement. Animals are not ours to eat, wear, experiment on, use for entertainment, or abuse in any other way. Now, how have you guys ate some chicken strips tonight? Go ahead. PETA is after you. They're coming for you because you have no right to eat a chicken. Why do you have no right to eat a chicken? Because you evolved from maybe a chicken. Who knows? I think actually the chicken was from the T-Rex, right? Was that right? The rooster from the T-Rex or something? So somewhere down the line, we're evolved animals. Therefore, we have no right to eat animals. Why? Because we're animals ourselves. And you have very strong activists for animal rights where there's actually trials going on where they're trying to get human rights for chimpanzees. That chimpanzees have the same human rights as a human being. They would have to be treated equal as a human being. So we see the blurred lines of our culture where we see humans aren't any better than animals. Instead, we are the same. Now, as humans, should we abuse animals? No. God gave us dominion to rule over them. But part of the reason animals are here after Noah is to eat them. Because they're good, right? And God is not at all dishonored by that. In fact, God gave us animals for enjoyment. But here we have organizations like PETA that would say, no, no, no. See, we all evolved from the same place. So we're the exact same. There's no difference from us. Another really fun fact that I found is just this last year, $55 billion was spent on pets. $55 billion in America was spent on pets. Now, it used to be the fact that in big cities, dogs outnumbered kids. Now, across the whole United States, there are more dogs in households than there are children. Across the United States, there are more dogs than there are children. And in a real way, we see this pets replacing children, because we have this kind of blurred line. Well, they're really not any different. In fact, I'll just give you some of the things we spend $55 billion on is the pet fashion industry. Because if you have a dog, it's got to look good. It's got to have like a change of clothes every day. Here's the one that just was crazy to me. They're making new technology where your pet can have a cell phone and can call you at work during the day. So they're making, it's like $300, little like robot phone where your pet like paws on it. It calls you at work so it can like, I don't know, bark. I can like take a selfie. Just chewing my bone, Mom. Peace. See you when you get home. Bring home some scraps. I don't know. But you've got this blurred line of we're almost trading children now for pets. And I'll be honest, pets are a lot easier because you can just put them outside when you don't want to deal with them anymore. And kids, you can't do that with. But yeah, diapers, like they potty train easier. But what we see is in our culture, I just want you to be aware of this. There's a blurring line between what it means to be human and what it means to be animal. And the more that line blurs and blurs, what happens is we lose our human dignity because we lose our uniqueness. Because we're living in a culture that no longer believes what Genesis 1 screams. We are uniquely different. Why? Because we're created in the image of God. Nothing else is created in the image of God. Nothing. There's nothing in all of creation that bears God's image except for you and me. And that makes us distinctly different than every other creature on the planet. See, we're different. That's what it means to be a human being. It means to bear the very image of God. You know, one of the saddest things, another sad thing besides we're fish, in the video, the guy asked, Ray Comfort asked a few of the people, if you saw your dog or your neighbor drowning in a pool, who would you save? And you know what most of them said? My dog. And perhaps some of you are like, well, yeah. You don't know my neighbor. I'd say my dog. My neighbor's kind of crazy. But see, that's that blurred line. It's, well, yeah, I don't know this human being. Who cares about him? My dog. I love him. I know him. There's a huge difference. Your neighbor has an eternal soul and bears the image of God. Your dog has none of that. None of that. Only the human beings bear the image of God. And there should be such a uniqueness, such a distinction, that there should never be a moment where there is an animal, if it's a bald eagle that's drowning in a pool, or a human being, no matter who it is, we save the human. Why? Because they bear the very image of God. But you live in a culture that is blurring that distinction and is blurring that line. And I just want us to realize there's no line to be blurred. There is a steady line. There is a complete difference between you and everything else in the world. You are in the image of God. You are a unique creation of Him. So, what does that mean? What does that mean to be in the image of God? So here we're going to kind of try to define it a little bit. And really the Bible says we're made in the image of God, and then it just goes on. It doesn't really say, okay, here's exactly what that means. Anthony Holcomb, a guy who's written a lot on the image of God, had a study when I was in seminary. He breaks it down in a lot of different things. But I just want to talk about two of the things that he says is how we're made in the image of God. And those two things are, is that we reflect God and we represent God. So when you think about image of God, what does that mean? Two big things, if you're taking notes, to write down. We reflect God and we represent God. Okay, what does it mean that human beings image God? Well, we reflect Him, and also we represent Him. So let's go first with we reflect God. See, when God made us in His own image, after His own likeness, He was putting His glory image in us, that we would reflect the glory of who God is. What it means to reflect God, it's really to mirror God. That's what it means to be in the image of God, that we mirror our Creator. Now, of course, you know what a mirror is, right? I brought one just in case no one knows what a mirror is, but here it is. And of course, what does a mirror do? Okay, yeah. So can anybody see yourself there? Anybody here? We'll do selfies for everybody. All right, everybody, you could take a picture of the mirror and do a mirror selfie. Yeah, I know you've done it before, right? Did everybody? So here's a mirror. Now, what is this mirror's job to do? It's to reflect. It's to show the thing that's looking at it, right? It is a reflection of, at this moment, you. So when you look in this mirror, what you see is yourself. That's what a mirror does. It reflects things. So in a real way, the reason God created us as human beings in His image is so we would be little mirrors that show who God is to all creation. That as we walk around as human beings, what we're doing is we're walking around as little mirrors that are showing who God is and what He's like. And I want you to think about just in ways that we uniquely mirror God that nothing else on the planet does. Have you ever thought about that? What are some ways that we uniquely mirror God that nothing else on the planet does? Here's just a few. Number one, in communicating. Now you're like, yeah, but dogs bark. Yeah, but they don't have like language. You know, they like scare each other and like fight with each other, but they don't have language. See, what God does is when He creates us, He talks to us. He communicates with us, and we communicate with one another. You're listening to me right now because I'm an image bearer of God who's able to communicate through words, and you're an image bearer of God who's able to hear those words, and we can communicate with one another. And as we communicate, we're bearing the image of a God who communicates to his creatures. See, when we talk to each other, when we text each other, when we Facebook each other, what we're saying is we are made in the image of God who is in community with himself and who communicates to his creation. See, it's like a little mirror. You're saying, here is what God does. God communicates in the way I communicate. Think about some other things that God does. What about relationships? See, we as human beings have unique relationships that the animal kingdom doesn't have. We have relationships like marriage, where two people come together and become one. And we have this unique marriage relationship. We have communities. We have cultures that we build together. Why? Because God is a relational God. And as we build community together, as we build culture together, as we have marriages, those all testify as little mirrors to a God who is in perfect community with himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, you were doing things that you didn't even know. You were imaging God. See, believers and non-believers bear the image of God and can do things that reflect who God is to the world. Think about reasoning. See, the animal kingdom doesn't reason. We reason. We think through things. We come up with formulas. We try to figure things out. You don't see many animals trying to debate when the world began. It's only us. We're the only thinking, rational beings. Why? Because God is a thinking, rational being. He reasons. He thinks. And he created us in with those same capacities. So that as we think and as we reason and as we try to figure things out, we are giving testimony to who God is. That God is not some impersonal being, but he's a personal being who thinks and who loves us dearly. Think about ruling. As we rule over certain things, as you rule over your room, as you rule over your bed, hopefully you make it. Because making your bed gives testimony that you're in the image of God. Because what God says is to rule over the world under me. So for those of you who make your bed, you're actually screaming to your mom, here's what God is like. For those of you who don't make your bed, you're screaming to your mom, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do. I'm not going to take care. I'm not going to take care of my space. We're going to talk about that next week, so I won't dive into that a lot. But how we rule. Think about this. When we create things, we're showing the image of God. Because what did God do? What have we been talking about? God created the world. He spoke the world into existence. So when we create, what do? We bear the image of God. Little Finley in the back seat of the van yesterday, we were driving through Murray and he saw a Jeep. And my son knows that he spots a Jeep anywhere. And he spotted a Jeep and he said, Daddy, there's a Jeep. So I know, son, that's a cool Jeep. He says, Daddy, did God create that Jeep? Because for Finn, God created everything. We've been telling that. God created everything. So I said, so I was kind of thinking, okay, how do I answer this? Because in one sense it's yes, in one sense it's no. And so I was like, well, Finn, here's the deal. God created people and he gave them the ability to create because they're in his image. And God has given us material. And what's really cool is people take material and do what God does. They create things. So there was a man or a woman who was in the image of God who created that Jeep. So yes, God created them. They created the Jeep. And it was all showing the glory and image of God. See, when you see that car that is so beautiful, that one that you want more than any, it shows image of God. Why? Because God creates beauty. Have you guys walked outside and noticed? God's into creating beauty. I mean, how many of you guys walking? Oh, it's an ugly sunset. Oh, God's terrible. Man, these stars? Do over. Like, nobody says that, right? Mountains? Come on. The Grand Canyon? Yeah, that's real cool, God. No, it's like, breathless, right? That's why when you see like some gadget that's just beautiful, like a Mac product, They're all kind of beautiful, right? Have you ever noticed that? They're just all kind of beautiful. Because it's like image of God, beauty, creativity. So what we can see is there's a whole lot of non-believers working for Apple who are testifying and imaging the glory of God. Because what are they doing? They are creating in the image of a God who created all things. So we see, even in day-to-day, we see all these ways that Christians and non-Christians image God in the way they do, in the way they interact, in the way they move, and all of the various things that they do. They are creative. So we see the image of God. And we not only see that we're in the, that we reflect God, we mirror God, but also we represent God. So we mirror God in one sense, but in the other sense, we represent God. Okay. Now, how do we represent God? What exactly does that mean? Well, there's some really cool stuff. You got to like take a history lesson and go way back. And some of you, when I said history, you're like, oh, history. Josh is like, what? History lesson? Yes. This is awesome. So if you go like way, way back during like, you know, Moses' time, Abraham's time, Nebuchadnezzar's time, like way back, well, in like the near ancient culture, what kings would do is when they would occupy territory that they wanted to rule over, here's what they would do. They would set up images of themselves. And wherever that image was, that's a piece of land that they occupied and they ruled over. So wherever you saw the image, you knew the king rules this spot. How many of you guys remember in Daniel where they set up, Nebuchadnezzar sets up what? The big image in the plain. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have to come and what? Stand before it and bow down. They got to bow down to this image. What does the image represent? It represents the glory of Nebuchadnezzar. It represents his rule and his reign. So wherever you see that image, you know that is where King Nebuchadnezzar rules and reigns. Check this out. I love this. This is so cool. Here's what God did. He made you in his very image. God created you in his image. And the reason he did was not only to reflect him and mirror him, but also was to represent him. And here's what he told us to do. He said, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, take the image that I have bestowed on you, the reflection of me, take it, multiply it, and spread it throughout all the world. So here was the big goal. Everywhere people were to go, they were representing the very image of God. And every land that they crossed, every continent they got to, every space that they occupied, what they were saying is, here is a space that God on high rules over. And I, as an image bearer of God, represent him well at this place. See, that was the big goal. Is for Adam and Eve to have babies who bear the image of God. They were to spread on the world. And everywhere they went, there was an image of God. There was a reflection of who God was. Have you ever thought about why the second command of the Ten Commandments says don't create any images after God? Why do you think God made that rule? Why do you think he's so against making an idol? It's because he already has a perfect image that he made to reflect him. And it's not some golden statue. It's you and me. He created human beings to bear his image so that wherever we go, we would reflect who God is to the world. But see, the problem is we didn't do that so well, did we? See, we didn't want to go and bear God's image. We wanted to bear our own. We wanted to become our own people and do it our own way and rule our own. So we fell. But I want you to notice, when we fell, we didn't lose the image of God. It was only marred. It was only broken. So as a human being in this room, you still bear the image of God, but it is a broken image. And only through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, only by repenting of your sins and putting your faith and trust in him, can that image be fully restored so that you can create things not for your glory, but his glory. So you can communicate not for your good, but for his good. So you can do all those things that we said reflected the image of God, but you can do them for his sake to truly image him once again. to truly be that mirror image that shows the world how great he is. So here's just a closing thought that I want to ask you. As we get ready to close, and we're going to come back next week, and we're going to continue on thinking about the image of God, because next week we're going to see that what it means that you're in the image of God is that you have value, you have dignity, and you have worth. Every human being on the planet has value, dignity, and worth. And there are things that we must stand against and fight for, because every person on the planet has value, dignity, and worth. We're going to see that next week. So here's the big things I want you to see tonight. We're unique over all creation. We're made in the image of God. And here's what that means. It means that you mirror God and you represent God. So think about this. Tomorrow, when you walk into your school, how are you going to live up to that calling? Tomorrow at school, are you going to mirror God and represent God well? Or are you going to mirror God and represent God in a way that does not give him honor and does not give him glory? Because see, as you talk tomorrow, you're an image bearer of God. That's why you can talk. That's why you have the ability to communicate. How will your mouth be tomorrow? Will you use it to glorify God, or will you use it to run people down and to speak curses? What will you do with your mouth tomorrow? Because what you do with your mouth, you're an image bearer of God. So you're telling people, here's what God is like. So the question is, are you lying or are you telling the truth? When it comes to being creative, when you're doing your homework, when you're taking that test, are you imaging God well? Or are you saying, you know what? God just cheated on all this. Now I'm just going to grab this girl's homework and just copy the answers. That's how God did it. He just copied off someone. He's not creative himself. When it comes to tests, man, I'm going to cheat on the answer. I'm going to look over. That's what God does. He's a cheater and he's a liar. See, that's what you say when you cheat at school. When you're not paying attention, you're not soaking in so you can be a creative person like God is creative. What you're saying is you're lying about who God is as creator. See, in all the ways that you relate tomorrow, when it comes to relationships, you're going to either tell the truth about God or you're going to tell a lie about God. Because when it comes to relationships, God is a giver. He pours out himself to us. So in relationship with others, we should be serving others. We should be giving ourselves to others, not using people for our own pleasure. But some of you tomorrow are going to walk into school and you're going to use some girl for your own pleasure. You're going to use some guy for your own pleasure. You're not going to give. You're not going to help. You're not going to encourage. You're going to use and you're going to damage. And you know what? You're in the image of God. God is a relational being. But his relationships are always good. So in your relationships, if they're good, you're telling the truth about God. If they're bad, you're telling a lie about God. This is serious stuff. See, we as Christians have the ability to tell the world once again what God is really like. What we as Christians should be saying is, hey, check me out. You know what I am? I'm like a mirror. And if you look at me long enough, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see little bits of who God is in the way I act, the things I say, the things I do, how much I care about you, how much I love you, who I'm living for. You see, if you look at me just a little bit, you're going to see a glimpse of who God is. Because he's so great. And you know what? He created me and he redeemed me so that my whole life could be about being a little mirror for God. See, that's what I want my whole life to be. I don't want my whole life to be, hey, look at me because I'm awesome. I want my whole life to be, hey, check out him because he's awesome. See, I want to tell the truth about God. When people look at my life and they investigate my life, what I want them to see is, man, Corey tells the truth about God. And I hope and pray that you as students want to image God well. And you want to represent him well. You want to reflect him well. As everywhere you go, what you're saying is, this space here belongs to God. As you occupy that desk tomorrow, as you go to the lunch table tomorrow, what you're saying is here I am and I'm in the image of God. So here God is. God's at this lunch table. How do you think your lunch table would change if God really did show up and just sat down? Pretty cool, right? Like more fish, probably, right? Like, hey, I need more food. Whoa, This is awesome. It would change. It'd be like crazy different because he's light and he's God. Well, in a way, God is sending his image to that table. And what he's saying is, hey, as my image bearer, how about you change that table? Because you represent me and you reflect me. So here's what I want you to think as you go through your day tomorrow. Everywhere you go, you're bearing the image of God. And everything you do, it should be your heart's desire to be a little mirror that tells the truth about God. So people can see you and learn something about how great God is. So that ultimately, you can tell them about him. And they might come to know the one who has saved you and redeemed you. So I'm going to pray for you for tomorrow. Because tomorrow I want us to go out and I want us to reflect and represent God well. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you so much for tonight. I pray that tomorrow we would walk into our schools, into our homes, into our jobs, everywhere we go tomorrow. And when we go to the baseball field or the softball field or whatever we do, I pray that we'd see ourselves as a little mirror that either tells a lie about you or a truth about you. And I pray that we would tell the truth, that we would show people how great you are by the way we live our lives. And I pray that everywhere we go, we would represent you. That no matter it's on the ball field, in the lunchroom, in homeroom, or in our bedroom, I pray that we would represent you because you have given us your image and we bear it and we want to image you well. So help us do that tomorrow. I pray over these students. I love them. I love you. And we pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen.